I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Are the fans panicking in San Francisco? You may have good reason to. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The dust hasn't even fully settled yet, Pearl, and 11 of the 22 starters from the 2019 Super Bowl season are out the door. Now, still some big things to decide. Brock Purdy's contract still out there, not done. How Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk are going to come back from injuries. What does Trent Williams still have? And how much is Robert Saleh coming back as defensive coordinator really going to upgrade this defense that had kind of slowly been falling off, you know, over the last couple of years? So major, major questions we're asking you today. Do you still consider the 49ers a Super Bowl contender for this year?
Yeah, I mean, I just read the odds. They're 6 in odds. There's still more work to be done. I kind of disagree with you a little bit. They can do some things to fill in these holes. I don't count out a team that has two Hall of Famers on defense for sure, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. One probable Hall of Famer, and actually two, Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams on offense. So I do think that's a good base of stars to build around. And they've had success with later round guys. I kind of like all this. Remember when they were young and hungry and coming off the Super Bowl loss, they had a terrible season. Then 2021, no one saw them coming. That was a tough-nosed team. Last year, I did not see that team. I saw a team that was getting in shootouts where the defense was crumbling. They weren't tough-minded at all. I kind of think they needed a reset.
We put out a poll question. Now, this is unscientific, but you can go vote at Maggie and Pearl on X. Are the 49ers still a Super Bowl contender this season? This is one of the most lopsided polls we've ever put out. It's 90-10, no. 90% of you saying no, they are not a Super Bowl contender this season. Not a lot of faith in what's remaining right now with the 49ers. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on that at 855-212-4227. It is Wednesday, and around here, that means the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, Pearl, you know how this works because we thought this up together. We loosely base this on the news. So, what's going on right now in the NFL? Free agency.
Yes.
The worst free agent contract of all time. And we're actually not just talking about NFL. We're opening this up to all of the major sports. The worst of the worst of the worst. Would you like to go first?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, when you think about bad free agent signings, there's a couple things you need. You need huge numbers, a lot of years, and no production. I have that. But I have a twist on mine that makes it even better than all the other ones, or worse. The Yankees signing Jacoby Ellsbury to a 7-year, $153 million deal in the offseason of 2013 is so deliciously bad because not only did he do nothing with the Yankees, didn't fit at all, did not produce, they signed him off the Red Sox there when that rivalry was still red hot. The fact that they took a player who was good in Boston, that he stunk in New York, just makes it all the dumber. And honestly, I would say the modern era Yankees are low key even dumber than the old spend everything Yankees. This move is so bad because not only did Boston not have to overpay him, the Yankees got him and he just did absolutely nothing and huge embarrassment.
Wow, that's funny. I mean, they made the World Series last year.
Well, not with Jacoby Ellsbury.
No, that's true.
Well, I'm excited to be a New York Yankee. Definitely very excited for my family and I. You know, I'm excited for this opportunity coming to a storied franchise. Seeing, looking outside today, seeing the banners on the wall, seeing the great players that have played here. It's just a truly honor. The Yankees showed a great interest in me and let me know that they really wanted me.
What I think it actually, man, is a Yankees fan, the bad signings. Remember they had the core four and they were awesome and they won every year? And then they went out and spent money on all the wrong guys. I think that era went from what year? 2001 through...
Today.
Yeah,
today. I was about to say, yeah,
they're not as bad.
Well, they just got lucky because Aaron Judge is amazing. I think they don't spend as much, but I do think they're capable of bad decisions. The thing is, they can always spend more, and we're probably going to see that this year because of all the injuries.
Aaron Judge,
and they definitely lost out on Juan Soto, or else they would have signed another massive contract.
Yeah. They're not afraid to spend still. Yeah, but that was 2013, and they certainly were disappointing from that year on.
Okay, so here's the thing about the Yankees. We're talking about the great debate today, the worst free agent signings of all time. If the Yankees want to, they can always outspend themselves out of any bad situation, right? Like, bad contracts don't sink them because they are the New York Yankees, and in theory, they're printing money in the Bronx, so they should be able to spend their way out of trouble, if you will. I'm going with a contract that was so bad in baseball that the team could not recover because they just don't have the amount of funds that the Yankees have. And that would be Chris Davis from the Baltimore Orioles.
He's going to set the major league record. Hitless at bats. There's a shot to left. Grossman's going to go back, and Grossman makes the catch. So Chris Davis, unfortunately for him, he has the major league record. He's 0 for his last 47, and tonight he's hit three line drives, right?
Oh boy. So Chris Davis hit 159 home runs in a four-year span. That led the Orioles to offer him in his free agent walk year a seven-year, $161 million deal. That's huge for the Baltimore Orioles. The four seasons after he signed that contract, he hit a grand total of 80 home runs. And it got even worse. That futility at the plate with the longest hitless streak. But this was so bad because the Orioles couldn't spend their way out of trouble. 2 years after he signs this contract, they had a season where they went 47-115.
Is that bad?
The other part about the Chris Davis contract, it's got a little Bobby Bonilla in it, which is that they're still paying Chris Davis, and they will continue to pay Chris Davis until the year 2037. He is still going to be collecting a check from the Baltimore Orioles. And what would have made this a little better is if maybe he got busted for PEDs or had some kind of injury like Ellsbury, got hurt. Chris Davis just disappeared. That's it. He just got bad. Not even sure really what to point to. So Chris Davis, the worst free agent contract signing of all time.
Yeah. Weren't there two Chris Davises too? And the other one, I think, had a bad
it's
signing.
It's not good either. Chris with a C, Chris with a K.
Yeah.
Talking about Chris all with a C. Athletic.
By the way, Chris Davis, I actually, not in him particular, favorite kind of player. Million home runs, a million strikeouts. Yeah. Bring it on. He's sort of the modern Adam Dunn, but he was terrible. But also,
contract
too.
Contract was a killer.
His numbers make you question the validity of those numbers. That guy
never got popped.
Never got popped. But Baltimore Orioles slugger out of nowhere with 56 homers 1 year and then down to 32 the next year. Huh.
Never got
Brady
popped.
Anderson style. All right.
We're asking what is the worst free agent contract of all time? EJ, go.
Okay, so sometimes is you kind of forget how good a guy was before these terrible contracts, because all we think about is the infamous contract they got and how bad they were with their new team. Albert Haynesworth for the Tennessee Titans was a two-time All-Pro back-to-back years before signing a seven-year, $100 million contract with Washington. And I'm one of those folks who believe what people who are around you say about you says all I need to know. So after his first year where they go 4-12, Jim Zorn gets fired. He only had 4 sacks in his first season. He decided that he didn't need to be a part of OTAs or minicamp. This is a 300-pound man who said, I don't need any of this conditioning. LeVar Arrington, who had recently played with Washington, went on local radio and had enough.
I ain't never seen somebody get carted out for field and come back and play. That's not heroic. Nobody's looking at you like, what a hero. Nobody's looking at you that way. They looking at you like you a lazy A-cat that had to get carted off the field. Who knows what they did for you while you was in the locker room. Give you some oxygen or something like that so you could come back out and play. Nobody looked at it as heroic, and you need to know it.
And Haynesworth, LeVar Arrington, very concerned that Haynesworth was going to be a bust if he kept acting like this.
If you don't stop that, all you will be known as is the guy that came to Washington and was a part of a long list of free agents that came here, took money, did nothing, and left.
And that's pretty much what happened. Hey, Albert Haynesworth. He nailed it right on the dot. So Albert Haynesworth didn't show up to training camp. Minicamp, came to training camp, failed all of the conditioning tests. Came in fat, came in out of shape, failed the conditioning test. This is not a guy, again, who was holding out because of money. He just got paid. He just didn't want to show up to work. Showed up to work, was out of shape. His last season, he only plays 8 games, only records 2 sacks, and his teammate Chris Cooley called him, quote, an awful human being. Every year, every team, someone signs a big contract, and they turn into a piece of dump, said Cooley. He was then asked what contract was worse, him or Arenas. He said Haynesworth, because Haynesworth was trying to get released by the team. His goal was to come here, make a large signing bonus, and then get released. I mean, what do I have to say?
Yeah.
His teammates literally thought he was giving up on purpose. So, Albert Haynesworth, you are the worst free agent signing of all time.
Dark moment in Washington sports with Gilbert Arenas and Albert Haynesworth fighting to the bottom of who has the worst contract. He could be on this list, too.
But that wasn't the only... Washington, that was Dan Snyder came in and paid all the old guys tons of money. Deion, right?
And yep.
There was like 6 or 7 other guys.
But like I said, though, Haynesworth, he just came off all pro years back to back, first team. He was a superstar in Tennessee.
No, he got paid and mailed it in.
Yeah, and then he just gave up.
We're asking, what is the worst free agent contract of all time? That's the great debate, Manny. Who you got?
All right, guys, who can forget? Let me just get my numbers here, right? Back in 1991, when the New York Mets inked Bobby Bonilla to that mammoth 5-year, $29 million contract. Didn't exactly work out in Queens. Bonilla goes ahead and has a stint elsewhere, returns to the Mets. Again, doesn't exactly work out. Now the Mets are paying Bobby Bonilla $1.2 million for another 10 years. When was the last time Bobby Bonilla donned the Mets jersey? It's been quite a while. So I've got Bobby Bonilla and my clip over here. It's not the best audio, but...
Okay, why are you doing this?
Why are you doing such language?
So
this is pretty much your normal vocabulary and the way you're like.
Pretty much, but Bobby is a normal vocabulary. You got a problem?
Yeah. No, not much, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, come on, you make your mind.
No,
you're
I'm
stupid. Didn't I tell you to leave?
Doesn't exactly sound like a great guy either, according to that clip.
Yeah.
I got Bobby Bonilla again, $1.2 million being paid by the Mets every July 1st until 2035.
There's a lot there with the Bonilla stuff because of the Mets and the Madoff scandal. Just to be fair to Bonilla, I've met him and interviewed him before. He actually was a very nice, kind person in person, but no, he had a very testy relationship with the New York media.
Actually, I had no idea. I figured I link him with Barry Bonds. I thought not knowing him at all, I thought he was a jerk like Bonds.
When I personally interviewed him, he was a very nice guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's good to hear.
He's getting $1 million a year for the rest of his life. I hope he'd be in a good
I know. Listen, they offered him that contract because the Wilpons lost so much money in the Madoff scandal. All right, Bogues, last one for us. Who is the worst free agent signing of all time?
My submission qualifies as classic rock at third base. That's how long it's been since he was good.
Rendon hits it into deep right, back at the wall. It is off the wall. Two more runs are going to score. What a night for Anthony Rendon. Nationals have blown it open as they lead 7-2 here in the ninth. It's a 5 RBI game for the Houston native.
5 RBI, 1 home run in the clincher for the Nationals over the Astros in the 2019 World Series. At that point, Anthony Rendon was an all-star, had 3 top 6 finishes in MVP voting, one of the best third basemen on the planet. So the Angels signed him for 7 years and $245 million. He was useful during the 2020 COVID season. He has been useless since then. He's currently on his second season-ending hip surgery, a long list of other injuries, plus some debatable comments making you question his commitment to the game. He has only played 205 games over the last 4 seasons and will play 0 here in 2025 while making another $38 million and $38 million still to come in 2026. That's Anthony Rendon.
You know, it's a good one. I thought about Anthony Rendon, but I don't even think it's the worst free agent signing from that World Series winning team. Strasburg got paid like $255 million or whatever and made, I think, 8 starts since. I mean, that's been really terrible. All right, we left a lot of good ones out there, by the way. We have tons in basketball that we didn't even really talk about.
We have 3 more Angels contracts that easily make this list.
We got to mention Eddie Curry, right, Knicks fans?
Eddie Curry.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Exploded an exercise ball.
Go fly a kite.
Junkyard Dog. Just the Knicks Isaiah Thomas era alone. Is just one.
Joakim Noah.
Both of y'all.
That's a Phil Jackson era.
And we have so many.
By the way, Manny comes in here with the Bobby Bonilla because he's upset about Garrett Cole's right arm. And now we mentioned Eddie Curry and we have to go fly a kite. It's a two-way street, bud.
I agree, Manny. That was a little harsh. Knicks are good. Eddie Curry, he's having a good life. It's fine. We're okay.
The Bobby Bonilla contract, too, which is Manny's submission for the
worst feeling in the world.
Free agent contract. It seems so quaint. Like 5 years, $29 million. I'm like, what was...
Yeah, and they're paying him less than the Orioles are paying Chris Davis. Leave Bobby Bonilla's contract alone. That's like my least favorite conversation.
That's why I picked Chris.
Yeah, I hate Bobby Bonilla contract talks.
Such a defensive.
Hate it.
No, well, I mean, we got to count inflation in this debate, obviously.
No, like, I understand.
That 245 number is overwhelming, though.
855-212-4227. All right, we're asking you, what are the worst free agent contracts of all time? Quickly, I'm going to go to Joe in San Francisco. This is a good one. Joe, who do you have?
I got Barry Zito going to the Giants from the A's.
Man, you thought when the A's had the three-headed monster there of Zito and Mulder and...
Tim Hudson.
And Tim Hudson, thank you. And it's like, oh, he's going to go to San Francisco and just be dynamite. Didn't happen.
Nope. He didn't throw hard enough. He only threw it. He topped out at 91 in the American League, but I don't work in the National League.
Man, Joe, it's one. They're still living down. Although, the thing is, San Francisco has won so many World Series. Thank you for the phone call.
I'm going to defend Zito because I love he's one of my favorite pitchers. Yes, he was not a great Giant. He was very good in the postseason when they won championship.
Yeah. Right.
Yes,
that's why I didn't pick Strasburg or Rendon. Those guys are winners. Like, I picked Chris Davis. He didn't do jack. Jacoby Ellsbury is part of one of the most famous teams of all time with the Red Sox. Yeah, he flamed out with the Yankees, but he's, like, grandfathered in as, like, an all-time baseball player.
Zito's interesting, though, because in some ways it was, like, he wasn't, like, terrible enough to where they could be, like, you know what, just go away. Like Chris Davis, some of these other guys, like they kept him around because he could at least throw innings and be you know, serviceable.
Awesome.
But he was a Cy Young, like lights out guy and went to the Giants and was just nothing close to that.
Now, let's be honest. Super handsome dude.
Zito?
Surfer hair.
Oh, yeah.
He was guitar player.
Actor. He's like, he was pegged to be in movies and I think he did some acting gigs because of his looks.
He seemed like a cool dude too.
Oh, yeah. But he's very California.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about? Free agents. That's what we're in. That's what we're doing today. Worst free agent contracts of all time. Let us know. What did we miss? Again, a lot of basketball ones out there. We'll get to your phone calls next. It's M&P.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Great Debate Wednesday. We're debating the worst free agent contract of all time here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. I went with Jacoby Ellsbury to the Yankees, Maggie.
Chris Davis of the Orioles, still getting paid, hasn't been on the team in years.
Yeah, we also got EJ.
Albert Haynesworth signing with the Washington.
Manny.
I don't even remember. Bobby Bonilla.
And Bogues went with Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, we have a lot of baseball ones, which is funny because there's no salary cap. So, like, in some ways, these shouldn't be that devastating. It should be worse in football and in basketball.
But you see the number.
But you see the numbers are so outrageous in baseball. It's just, it's hard not to gravitate to it.
The one issue with this debate is inflation. So, for example, Gilbert Arenas got $111 million. It was the worst contract of all time. That is backup shooting guard money in the NBA today. I mean, the max contracts are so big.
How Arenas flamed out, though, is what makes it so bad. Now, he was really good with the Washington Wizards. They give him this big contract, and then, you know, he brought a gun into the locker room and got into it with a teammate and got, you know, kicked out of the league, basically. Now, you can keep it coming at 855-212-4227, worst free agent contracts of all time. But it's funny that Gilbert Arenas makes it into this conversation because now he's actually become very relevant in sports because he has this wildly successful podcast and show called Gil's Arena. They recently had on Stephen A. Smith, who, if you're not following this, I'll just get you up to speed on it real fast. Stephen A. made some pointed criticism towards LeBron James a couple weeks ago, now maybe over a month ago, about the damage he's doing to Bronny, Pearl, by enforcing Bronny into the NBA on his own vanity project, LeBron's, that he's embarrassing his son. And Stephen A. said, as a father, I plead for you, stop this, make it end, you know, basically take Bronny out of the spotlight. And LeBron saw Stephen A. the other night courtside and confronted him about it. And it definitely got testy and it looked like a lot of curses. And okay, here's Stephen A. now talking on Gil's Arena about LeBron confronting him.
I thought it was weak. I thought it was some bullshit.
Okay.
In the moment, I knew that I was listening to a father.
Okay. What happened exactly? Let's hear cut three. What happened is LeBron cursed him out.
He said, yo, you got to stop talking about my son. Mm. You got to stop with my son. That's my son. That's my son. And I was like, what? He said, nah, that. I said, yo, let's talk later. He's like, that. Nah, that. You got to stop with my son. And I said, all right, though. And he walked off.
Okay. And LeBron, by the way, this was in the middle of the third and fourth quarter. So he still had a game to play. This was before LeBron's groin injury. More from Stephen A., just reaffirming that he was criticizing LeBron in the rant, not Bronny.
You said you with my son. No, I wasn't. I was talking about you. I was talking about you. Wasn't about your son. I know he's number 55. I know he got work to do. Woo. I believe that he got potential.
Yeah.
I believe that he got the potential to go pro. I truly believe that. It's going to be tough, but I think he could pull it off. And by the way, I'm rooting for him. I ain't rooting against nobody. But I was talking about your
Pretty angry Stephen A. there. Okay, so I think part of this is absolute crap on Stephen A.'s part. You were talking about Bronny and LeBron because you pointed out that Bronny's averaging 0.7 points and you went through all of his stats and they were embarrassingly low, Pearl. So he did use Bronny's stat line as a way to get into this criticism of LeBron. Let's not pretend that Bronny was some innocent bystander here. He also did, by pointing out Bronny's shortcomings, sideswipe Bronny.
But you say that as if that was any kind of justification for what LeBron did when everybody on planet Earth who has eyeballs has been criticizing Bronny James. He's terrible.
Yeah, he has been. I guess, like, in some ways, I don't have a lot of sympathy here for Stephen A.
Really?
Or any of us.
Really?
If you do criticize somebody, you have to expect that they might hear about it and they may have an opinion about it.
And come on national TV between quarters and yell at you? What? Well, it's third grade?
Stephen A's on national TV every day. Why
in the middle of a game? That's insane.
Okay, but why does Stephen A's criticism get to be public and on TV to a mass audience, but then LeBron has to handle it behind closed doors?
Because that's the NBA product. That's sports. You don't go up to a reporter who rips you and in the middle of a game and tower over him and threaten him. That's ridiculous.
He didn't threaten him.
It was a bit. It was implied. It wasn't a non-threatening thing by LeBron.
I've watched Stephen A. on TV look down the barrel of the camera and threaten Kevin Durant. This works both ways here.
He's a journalist. I mean, he's on air.
He used to be a journalist. He's a commentator.
5'11". So LeBron's 6'8". And actually, weirdly, in his prime, I mean, come on. You're telling me that there was no sort of big bully, I'm huge, I'm going to kick your butt if you keep talking about my son? Of course there was.
No, I don't see it that way because Stephen A's platform is so big that I don't think that he could ever claim that he's being bullied. He has the microphone. He has the power of the biggest sports network in the world. He's not so shrinking violet here. It's not like LeBron picked the last person, you know, who's got 200 Twitter followers and decided to go after him. They're both heavyweights in what they do. And the fact that Stephen A. couldn't take that criticism and has gotten so defensive about it, to me, is so thin-skinned on his part. He's telling them, hey, Clutch, if you called me, I would take the call. Well, a couple weeks ago, you were complaining about how they did call you behind the scenes and did try to clear up something. And he said, don't call me with that BS. So can't have it both ways. You called him out. You expect the blowback. I've had this happen to me. You call someone out and then you have to show your face. And if they get mad at you about it, you got to take it.
But in that setting, no, you don't have to take it. Come on. This is what we all do. The media calls out people. The players get paid a ton of money to accept it. It's all part of the game. You don't and I'm sorry, I think he was threatening him. He's like, basically, the implied message was, if you keep talking about my son, I'm going to kick your butt. That's not the message that was being sent there?
I just think that the threats can go both ways. And Stephen A. can't threaten LeBron physically, but he...
Really?
But he has threatened Kevin Durant to, like, you know, on TV... He basically threatened to, like, expose him or something.
I mean, Stephen A all the time will say, like, the things I know in 20 years of covering, you don't think I can, like, he says that a lot.
I think he uses
an enemy out of me.
Yeah, you don't want to make an enemy. Good fake, man. I just think that LeBron could have, like, used his physical stature to be imposing, and Stephen A uses the threat of the microphone and his platform to be imposing.
That's ridiculous.
They both use their biggest tool.
Go get out of here. It's not appropriate for athletes to use their biggest tool being physical threat to a reporter or a broadcaster.
So what is their...
Totally not appropriate. In the middle of a game when you're supposed to be focused on the game, it was ridiculous. I don't even think LeBron could defend his own actions. Like, that was... What are you doing? You're coming after Stephen A. between the third and the fourth quarter? That was a crazy sports parent move, which I understand.
But my question, though, to Pearl, and I actually agree more with Pearl here, but... What is LeBron's avenue then if, because it was personal to say, like, as a father, suggesting LeBron
is a bad dad.
Is not doing well as a father to do this.
Yeah. And
that's, like, what is his avenue then to combat that? Because someone definitely could take that personally. That's not a basketball conversation.
He has a mic in front of him 24 hours a day. One of his 7 reality shows or just to the reporters. He can talk about it. Why couldn't he just say something? Just like you said, Stephen A. has a mic. Of course LeBron has a mic.
Sure. He could. Here's the thing. I think that if you, like, LeBron, I think, has a point that Stephen A. did get very personal here. We've talked and criticized that Bronny shouldn't be in the NBA for basketball reasons, that LeBron used his influence for basketball stuff. I don't think any of us said he's a bad father for doing this.
Well, no, I think a lot
of
people...
That's going to touch a nerve.
Tons of people blame LeBron for this Bronny situation. In fact, I'm positive people on the show have said LeBron is being ridiculous by forcing Bronny to the Lakers.
No,
everybody said that. But it's the most common take, and it's right.
Okay, but have we said you're a bad father for doing this? Even if you don't agree with it, right? And it's the height of nepotism and all that. I don't think anyone believes that LeBron is coming from a bad place, right? Like, that he, or that he's like, hurting his kid.
I think most people think this is unfair to Bron. I think the more common take is, this is terrible for Bronny. LeBron forced this situation. I understand what your distinction is. No, I think LeBron's a great dad, of course, and I see the documentaries that he's on, and he seems like a very engaged dad, which is awesome. But this was a mistake. And I think almost everybody agrees with that, that this whole Bronny situation was LeBron's fault. I don't think that's... I think that's what Stephen A. was basically saying. I think what Stephen A. was saying was in line with everyone else. But back to your other point, like, yeah. No, I don't think an athlete can ever physically threaten a journalist, especially a football player. Like, that is,
listen,
that's totally out of bounds. And LeBron is basically the size of a football player.
I understand. I'm not advocating for athletes to start intimidating reporters like that, you know? And we've been in locker rooms, and it can get very awkward. Yeah,
it's out of bounds.
It's totally out of bounds. This was... You know, in a way, I never took this as LeBron's going to punch Stephen A. in the face. I never thought that Muhammad Ali was going to punch Howard Cosell. I never thought these guys. But he is stepping to him like, listen, I have the right to say something back to you. You said this in a public forum. I'm doing this in a public forum. You did it at your job. I'm doing it at my job. I didn't see
LeBron talks He talks before and after every game. Why couldn't he have done it after the game?
Because he wanted to confront Stephen A. to his face. Stephen A. did it to a camera. LeBron's like, I'm going to say it to you directly. Is there not something, I'm not going to say noble about it, but you go straight to the source.
In the middle of a game? It's
whatever. Totally LeBron's bizarre. Played how many games?
The only question I have is, this sets up an interesting dynamic of, like, Bronny is a professional, okay? Like, he's a professional basketball player. And just like all basketball players, we talk about their stats. We talk about how well or poorly they're playing. And yes, there is a heightened expectation, heightened visibility for him. But LeBron, as Perloff said, pointed to that. So what, like, LeBron, you can't just jump at everybody who's talking about a professional basketball player. It doesn't matter if he's your son. I'm sorry.
Right. I know, like, but this is a little
different. He's a minor. That's one thing.
I get it, EJ. I totally get it. And Bronny's got to stand on his own 2 feet. But I do think he took it personally that he said, by keeping Bronny here, you're being a bad dad. That's a little different than Bronny shouldn't be here. I see that as a big distinction anyway.
Yeah, I get that.
I see it as a medium distinction. Not worth going Will Smith on Chris Rock.
It was, well, he didn't do that. It's condescending.
He almost did.
It's very condescending. And, like, basically, you're telling me how to parent my kid.
But, I mean, okay, we're going to parenting again. Like, Bronny's an adult. it's maybe uncomfortable for LeBron to, like, really come to that grips. And I get it. I'm not a parent, but I'm sure parents who deal with this where you have adult kids and you're, like, they're still your babies. I understand that.
Sure.
But Bronny is not a child. He's an adult. He is a professional basketball player. Yeah. Like, I even thought the whole thing, stop messing with my kid, was a little, like, well, like, he's an adult. And he's in the league. Like, I don't know. Like, so we're just not going to talk about anybody? Like, we can't talk about Steph Curry because Del Curry is going to come in and get upset at somebody? Or
no,
Klay Thompson's off? Like, what's the age limit we're talking about young NBA former sons?
I get it, but
whatever.
You know that all of these situations aren't apples to apples. And, you know, like, nobody is saying that Steph Curry doesn't belong in the league. No one went to Del Curry and said, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Get him out of here. You're embarrassing him, your family name, all that stuff. Like, Stephen A. meant it to be personal, and now he's trying to walk it back. And
I think if LeBron's going to go after people who have gotten that personal, I mean, he's going to have to attack, I don't know how many sports media members there are, but 80% of them.
Well, he's gone after Stephen A. and Doug Gottlieb. So it's not like everyone, it's not Stephen A. is not the only one. Anyway, what do you think about this? 855-212-4227.
Stay off the weed.
Who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? LeBron or Stephen A. for the big confrontation? Bogus is here with headlines. Hi.
Well, Maggie gives it a meh. My Bills fan son loves Joey Bosa to Buffalo. The former Charger pass rusher reportedly guaranteed $12 million for the coming season. And Buffalo may now add corner Asante Samuel Jr. to that roster as well. That deal could be done in the next little bit this morning.
Go Bills.
The Ravens are getting DeAndre Hopkins for Lamar Jackson. And we are almost done with the legal tampering period and still don't have an Aaron Rodgers decision, as you guys have been discussing all morning. But as of 4 Eastern this afternoon, the Jets can officially release Rodgers. That maneuver, as you know, not necessary for Aaron to pick his new team. For the second time this season, the Cavaliers on a 15-game win streak. They were down 18 in the third quarter last night, but rallied for a 109-104 W over the Nets. Head coach Kenny Atkinson's team doing that without Donovan Mitchell, DeAndre Hunter, and Ty Jerome last night.
Our depth and our grit and our resiliency is really, it's something to something to behold.
The Cavaliers also clinched the Central Division with this win last night. They are so good. They are so far ahead. It's so early in the season, they apparently, not all of them knew that they had clinched the Central Division after the game last night. Tyrese Halliburton's four-point play with 3.4 seconds left got the Pacers past the Bucks, 115-114, and the Pistons beat the Wizards, 123-103. Cade Cunningham, 27 points and 10 assists. Four more spots in men's March Madness claimed last night. Gonzaga avenging two regular season losses to St. Mary's with a 58-51 decision in the WCC finale. The Gales missed all 16 threes they took in this one, committed 18 turnovers.
Is that bad?
It is. St. Francis, PA took down top-seeded Central Connecticut 46-43 in the NEC title game for its first big dance since 1991. Manny wasn't alive.
I was negative six.
I was minus 1 month.
Were your parents married in 91?
Yes, my parents were married in 91.
Okay, at least we got that. UNC Wilmington stopped Delaware's Cinderella run 76-72 in the CAA final, and Robert Morris won the Horizon League tourney 89-78 over Youngstown State. Tiger Woods had surgery yesterday for a ruptured Achilles, suffered training at home recently. The announcement called the procedure minimally invasive. There is no timetable for Tiger's return to competitive golf, but obviously it will not be anytime soon. $500 million, the apparent asking price for Vlad Guerrero Jr., the Blue Jays first baseman, looking for an extension worth that much in present-day value. The deal can have deferrals, but they can't pull that value down past that threshold. The Ohtani contract, $700 million, but really $460 million, I think, because of deferrals. So Vladdy wants to avoid that. He has said publicly he would like this deal to be roughly 14 years long, coming very close to Juan Soto's agreement with the Mets. And the Washington Capitals won in Anaheim last night 7-4. None of those goals, though, from Alex Ovechkin. He did have three assists. He remains 9 goals away from passing Wayne Gretzky for the most all-time. Guys?
I couldn't help but think we're doing our great debate today, as we do every Wednesday around 8 o'clock Eastern time, which is the worst free agent contracts of all time. I'm like, I wonder if Vlad Guerrero is going to end up anywhere near this list. It's possible. It's possible. I mean, he's a great player. $500 million feels like a bargain.
Congrats to Bob Morris again for making the tournament.
Yeah.
I forgot about another
Bobby.
Another one-person team that always does good. Stephen F. Austin.
True.
Got to box it off.
Stone cold.
Oh, yeah. If you can have Bob Morris versus Stephen F. Austin, basically a one-on-one matchup.
And this then those joke, for chopping
you guys
wood,
have never
though.
Made this joke before?
Of
You've
course.
Never heard, oh, yeah.
And then there's William and Mary, who they cheat with the second person. It's a little less of a...
But see, when you brought up Robert Morris, Bob Morris, and Stephen F. Austin, to me, that's not a basketball competition. It doesn't sound like, sounds like something else. Like, though, if you had those two names.
Yeah, it sounds like a job interview, like at H&R Block or something.
Sounds like it could be a courtside fight at a Lakers game.
I was actually
a bare knuckle brawl.
There's a museum in Philadelphia called the Constitution Museum, and fantastic museum. Anyway, they have a life-size...
Manny, not a fan of the Constitution? I'd rethink that.
Philadelphia. Life-size reenaction of the signing of the Constitution, and there are all these dudes. And I go around the name. I'm like, oh, this is the 15 and 16 seeds in the tournament. There's Robert Morris. There's James Madison.
James
Robert
Monroe,
Morris was a signer of the Constitution. It's a really enlightening experience. It helps me understand how to fill out my bracket.
Have we picked Cinderella's yet? Anyone picking out there? I've already called mine.
Oh, I got one I like. I like Yale.
You would.
There you go, Ivy League.
Ivy's got to stay together. I like High Point.
Okay.
Big fan of High Point.
Yeah.
I know very little about them.
I might be on the Drake bandwagon.
Mm.
Oh, another
be the first.
Another one-man machine. You know who's not on the Drake bandwagon?
America.
Drake. He likes Kentucky.
I think Kendrick Lamar is also not on that bandwagon.
Yeah, way off of it. Folks, thanks so much. See you guys on the phones. A couple questions out there for you. The Stephen A. Smith, LeBron James dust-up, whose side are you on? And also, our great debate, as I mentioned, the worst free agent signing ever.
Stay off the weed.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Let's get nerdy here on the Maggie and Perloff show. I have a trivia question. How many people that signed the U.S. Constitution went on to have colleges to play Division I basketball named after them?
All right, I have four.
Hit me.
Robert Morris, because we just talked about it.
Okay.
James Madison. I knew that one. George Washington, where I went.
Yep.
G-Dub. And I want to say, is George Mason, did he sign the Constitution?
According to my research, George Mason refused to sign the Constitution because of some philosophical problem.
That's
really?
Un-American.
All right. Yes. More of an Articles of Confederation kind of guy.
Yes.
That didn't work out.
No.
So there's a couple that are iffy. Alexander Hamilton.
Are they play Division I, though?
They don't play Division I.
Yeah.
Then great there's probably musical. Some that I don't know about. But there's one on here that's a bit of a trick. And I got to find his name here. Jonathan Dayton.
Oh, Dayton, like Dayton, Ohio?
Yes. So Jonathan Dayton is a Revolutionary War hero that the city of Dayton, Ohio was named after.
And ipso facto also the college.
Yes, who is often in Division One, is often in the tournament. So that's my trick. I'm going to put this out on social media.
What?
What's that?
What?
Doesn't
count.
What?
If you're named after a city and then by extension the city, is the college is named after the city?
Yeah, I feel like.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm making
it. It's not called Jonathan Dayton University.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with EJ.
But actually, do we know anything about the founding of Dayton College?
I thought you had the answer to this trivia question. You don't have the answer?
Well, I'm counting Jonathan Dayton.
As the Jonathan College at Dayton.
I don't.
Well, I think it counts. Like, I'm going to put it out there.
While you think about that, let me go to the phones at 855-212-4227. We'll get you the definitive answer to that trivia question. Two questions out here for you from us. Whose side are you on with the Stephen A. Smith, LeBron James dust up? Bronny James right at the center of it.
Really?
And then also our great debate today, which is what is the worst free agent contract of all time, any sport? Bernie is in Vancouver, Washington. What's up, Bernie?
Not a whole lot. I am on the side of LeBron James. I think Stephen A. crossed the line when he talked about how LeBron is raising his son or how he is helping his son to get in the NBA. He can talk all he wants about his son. He can talk all he wants about LeBron, but none of us like to be told how to raise our kids and how it's wrong and we're embarrassing them. We each have our own opinions on that. And I think Stephen A. not to want to be called out on it, well, that's his own bad luck.
Yeah, Bernie, I think it got personal because it felt, in my opinion, thank you for the call, condescending by Stephen A., like you aren't parenting your kid right because of this.
Dude's on TV 16 hours a day. He's got to come up with some takes. I don't know.
Don't give him an out like that, bro.
Are you kidding me?
This was done. We all know why. I mean, first of all, because he probably believed it. I do want to give Stephen A credit there. He could have absolutely believed it. The way he was, you know, I know he's a pretty good actor, but the way he was pleading, I think he was genuine about it. But it was a genuine criticism of LeBron's parenting.
I just think that everybody's killing LeBron. Everybody. Stephen A. on down to the lowest person in sports.
Oh, we criticized him for this. We never said he was a bad father.
Right, but it's implied that he's made a huge mistake with Bronny. So I think LeBron has to call out all those people then, or admit he made a mistake, because the whole situation has been crazy awkward from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe you could blame the Lakers for they didn't have to listen to LeBron and take him in the second round, but... Yeah, the whole thing is a mess.
Well,
it's embarrassing for the whole James family.
The other part about this where, listen, you can see both sides. I could see, as a parent, you know, being upset about this because it did feel so personal. But LeBron is not blameless in this, obviously, because he orchestrated this whole thing. And also, I think the cringeworthiest part about this is not, to me, was, you know, I guess how Bronny's playing, which is not well. But the other part is the Griffies being there courtside for that first game. That felt... like, the Griffies really did this, because Ken Griffey Jr. was the number one overall pick in the draft and clearly had the talent, whether his dad was Ken Griffey Sr. or his dad was Al Smith, was going to make it to professional baseball. To have the Griffies there, like, this is on par with them, felt a little like calling your shot. And I think LeBron turned some people off with that in the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Doesn't mean he's a bad father.
I don't think there's any debate about whether LeBron probably overplayed his hand bringing Bronny in here. I mean, I get it. I thought I was actually into it. I thought it was going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you were into it.
It hasn't totally worked out. But here's the thing. Stephen A. gets way more personal all the time. I mean, he attacks people. And so does everyone in the sports media. They attack players' efforts. They attack their personal habits. They attack them for a million reasons. They say fire them all the time. I just think that... you have to accept that as a player and either deal with it verbally, but don't get up in the middle of a quarter and tower over this guy and be like, you better stop it. Implied, I'm going to beat you up right here if you don't. Like, there are so many more personal attacks than that. That is one of 100 different attacks on LeBron.
I guess, you know, because there's so much of a track record here with Stephen A., because everything he does is in front of the camera, basically, is that you do have audio of him from several weeks ago before this Bronny thing. A different situation came up, and he goes, and Clutch is calling me. Clutch Sports is calling me behind the scenes. Stop calling me. You know, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. And now for this situation, he's like, well, why didn't someone reach out to me behind the scenes? Well, you can't have it both ways. You know, you're out here. You're talking about this guy. To think it's never going to boomerang back onto you is also kind of crazy. And you're sitting courtside at the dude's game.
Yep. Isn't LeBron focused on the game? That's the other thing, too. I saw him actually at a Knicks game. He was having a full-on debate with Maverick Carter about something that had nothing to do with the game. I wonder why people think the NBA season's too long. What's going on here?
It's like their office water cooler, you know? Even the most dedicated worker takes a five-minute break.
I can't believe you're defending the athlete in this situation.
I am.
Because that's ridiculous. Like, you cannot... do that to anybody in the media. It's not acceptable.
855-212-4227. Keep them coming, guys. Get back to you in just a moment, and more winners and losers from free agency.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.